26 minutes past the hour. We're joined by Dr. Don Clark from Garden Valley, Texas. Don's a biochemist and a member of the board at Creation Moments and also a vintner, operates a Valle della Pace. How's my Italian, Don? Is that okay? Valle della Pace.
Oh, that was good. Yes, yes, that
was good. You have to talk with your hands.
Valle della Pace.
Valle della Pace. You have to use hand gestures as well, I think, to really make the point there. By the way,
your hands around.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
we refer to Don's vineyard as a grape branch because it's in Texas, you know. And there's a link to it at brokenroadradio.com if you'd like to go see what Don has to offer there. But we're not here to talk about wine, no. We talk about things like creation and evolution and Genesis and the biblical story of creation. And today, I'd have to call it the politics of evolution. Why is it you hear just one side of the story? Don, we've been doing this now for 9 years on Broken Road Radio, and 99.9% of our discussions have been, some of it's been about COVID, in fact, because you're a biochemist, but most of it's been about the biblical story of creation. It's what history there is in Genesis. It's an amazing elucidation of all the historical proof in Genesis. Have you ever tuned into the radio and heard a story touting evolution? I have not. It's like they don't need it.
Yeah, no, that's because they teach it, and it's indoctrinated. excuse me, it's indoctrinated, with our kids in schools, and the reason why is, I think, mainly they've come up with this argument that if there isn't a natural explanation to something, then it's not science, because science only deals with the natural. And so since evolution is a natural explanation as to how we got here, then it is a fact in the eyes of evolutionary scientists, but in our school systems and in our national science boards and educational systems, it's declared as being fact. Well, this article you talked about today, there was a new survey out that showed that now 54% of Americans believe in evolution as opposed to creation. That number used to be 49% for years and years and years. And now it's gone up to 54%. So why is that? I mean, why the increase? And I think the increase is coming from the younger set because of what they're being taught in school, exclusively being taught, and because of the lack of discussion about possible alternatives to the evolutionary story. And so we wind up with, we're indoctrinating the kids. I mean, old folks like us, I mean, we had, through church and through other avenues, we've been exposed to the alternative, which is obviously creation, and a less religious alternative, if you will, to intelligent design, which is relatively new on the scene, and it basically was devised to say, hey, wait a minute, we can use science to prove that the things that we see around us are intelligently designed. You can't explain it any other way. And they've done some, and we've recently talked about one of the intelligent design articles that showed, at least theoretically, that evolution couldn't have occurred, that random chance will never get you to the systems that we see in the biological biological systems and all of the animals and plants and all the complexities of life. Random mutation and even natural selection won't get you to anything evolving.
Where was the turning point? Because as we have discussed with you on the air before, and as I think both David and I know just from the history of science we got in school, that with Newton and Copernicus and Galileo and all the scientists started examining the creation to see how God did things, how it was put together by God. That was the implicit assumption. That was the foundation. At some point, though, and it was long before there was social media, long before there was electricity in every household, the tenor changed. The substance of evolution came to, was it with that Galapagos expedition by Darwin, or was it after that, or was it before that?
Well, it really started before that, because Charles Lyell was a geologist, and he was the one that proposed that, it looks like the Earth is really, really old. And so, millions and millions of years old, if not even older. And so that put a bug in Darwin's mind that, hey, wait a minute, maybe we weren't just created. Maybe there's a natural explanation for this. So Darwin was a naturalist, and he went on one trip. And he went to the Galapagos Islands, and he spent about a month studied the wildlife there, and mainly drew a lot of pictures of finches with different beak sizes and everything, and concluded that, hey, maybe we actually evolved. Maybe one species turns into another. And that's the explanation for life, for the origins of life, as opposed to, gee, everything just appeared all of a sudden. Which is what we see in the fossil record that I think we talked about last time.
Well, when did it turn political, though? Because he published a book, The Origin of Species. That's not the full title. I think I've lost track of the full title. But it became the standard because there was no opposition. Were there no voices for creationism? Did they not know how to publish?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you recall the Scopes trial in the United
1926,
States.
1926, yeah.
The movie actually flips the conclusion around and makes the religious attorney look like an idiot in the movie, but that was completely false. Actually out of the Scopes trial, because they were trying to teach this evolution in the schools, and the trial was to basically say whether it was okay to teach evolution in the schools, and the outcome was no, it wasn't. This was not science. This was barbaric, basically, mm-hmm. to think that man just evolved. And so the Scopes trials, while the outcome was favorable for creation, the media took it and flipped it completely around. And now, with the old movie called Scopes Trials, or mm-hmm. I believe that's the movie.
There's been a couple of them.
Anyway.
And, inherit the wind.
Yeah.
Inherit the wind.
Well, that
inherit
was a book to begin with, though. It, yeah.
And they that completely the movie, turned yeah. it. Yeah, they completely turned the scenario around by propaganda. And that's what's happening in our schools. That's what's happening online now. That's what's happening in the universities. Any scientist that even tries to bring up the point that, hey, this doesn't even make sense, this idea of one species evolving to the next, it can't possibly have happened. And not saying whether, there's a religious component, just saying that evolution cannot explain what we're seeing biologically from a DNA point of view, from a there's this theory, this recapitulation theory, for example, or it's just a guess, that says, well, embryos, embryos go through all of their evolutionary stages as they are developed. And so we can just look at the development of an embryo, and we can see all of the, how the embryo evolved. And this is an old, old theory that was debunked years and years ago, and this is still used as an excuse for evolution. And even Wikipedia, which we know is fraught with all kinds of problems and issues these days and misinformation, even it says that it's a scientific theory influential on but no longer accepted in its original form by both evolution and developmental biologists, namely that the concurrence in form between the same embryonic development stages of different species is evidence that the embryos are repeating the evolutionary stages of their ancestral history. And so if Wikipedia is saying that, gee, this is no longer valid, why are we still using it as an excuse? Why is it still used in the textbooks? And why is the national standards for science, the next generation science standards, still using it as promoting evolution, when indeed it's been disproven, as well as the DNA similarities? Years ago, when we first started this program, we talked about the DNA similarities between monkeys and man and pigs and all this other stuff. And that has been debunked, but yet they still use it as an excuse. And this is what we need to teach in our schools. And we can't teach anything but naturalistic approaches to origins when, in fact, all of the evidence supports the intelligent design of everything that we see, and there is no evidence for evolution whatsoever. But we continually to teach it in schools, we continually, and the big media, for example, I mean both in Google and in Wikipedia and all of these places, censor anything that has to do with intelligent design, and certainly anything that has to do with pointing to a creator in creation in the origins explanation. So
I remember listening to a discussion on, I think it was National Public Radio years ago. This was probably 20 years ago. And it was with a scientist. And they were supposed to be talking about evolution versus creationism. Now, I don't remember the creationist argument because it was cut short. Basically, the scientists said there's no point in going any further because evolution is, quote, settled science. It is the truth, period.
Well, they're being extremely disingenuous, and the only reason why they have to hold on to it is because the alternative is that, hey, everything was intelligently designed, and you can't explain these by natural processes, and that makes them extremely uncomfortable. Because when you do that, it points them to a creator, and we can't have a creator, because if we have a creator, you're accountable to the creator. And maybe the creator has actually outlined how we should live, and we want to live counter to that. And so this whole debate then is, and as far as the scientific community is concerned, except for thousands of scientists who know that evolution isn't a valid explanation for things anymore, but who are ostracized, either they have been kicked out of the universities or have they been marginalized by the universities because of their opinion that evolution can't explain everything. And so, this is really a propaganda campaign that we have now, and it is Soviet-style propaganda.
Let me read this paragraph, because you're exactly right, and they mentioned that in the article. Then this is an article by from Casey Luskin, who is a scientist and an attorney and a writer at The Federalist. He says in 2006, not that long ago, an article in the journal Nature reported 70 years, this is a quote from their report now, 70 years of enforced atheism and official support for Darwinism in the Soviet Union were causing a public backlash against evolution in post-Soviet Russia. During the Soviet era, virtually everyone accepted Darwinism, largely due to government indoctrination and a lack of intellectual freedom. Could a similar intolerance be responsible, at least in part, for increased public acceptance of evolution in the United States? Well, I guess so.
Yes. I mean, that's where we have been headed down this road for a long time. Now, it is interesting that, you know, we talked about politics and evolution. You began the program by potentially talking about that. So we are at that point in this discussion. So what is the tie between the communist Soviet Union as well as the communist China? What is the tie between that and the authoritarian teaching of only of evolution? Or is there a tie? I mean, why are those two things seem to be linked? I mean, in China, you can't talk about anything but evolution.
Well, religion is as anathema to both those systems, the old communist, the socialist system, and it's still a problem for socialism. Marx wrote, it's the opiate of the people. It's what gives them a false sense of security and peace. You need to do away with that in order to manipulate them. So they can't compete with God, so they talk around him.
So here's a glimmer of hope. It's a glimmer. Mm-hmm. It's a really tiny glimmer. I have a new dentist who just joined the practice, and she happens to be a Vietnamese. She's from Da Nang. And, we chatted about, I had a visit yesterday, and we chatted about this and that, and all kinds of things in Vietnam. And I said, I was in Saigon for a year. And I says, but I suppose you guys call it Ho Chi Minh City. She says, no, we still call it Saigon. Those communists don't know anything. And I thought, wow, they're hanging on. It's by their fingernails, but they're hanging on.
Well, that's what they're talking about in the article. There was a strong public backlash to evolution in Russia. They threw off the chains, the intellectual suppression, and said, no, this is wrong. I want to make a comparison here. You mentioned the Scopes trial a while ago. As I recall in reading about that, it was a setup by, well, I don't know whether it's the ACLU. It was an organization that asked this young teacher in Tennessee to go to trial, to go ahead and teach creationism. We'll object to it on a religious basis. Now, fast forward to the 1970s, another organization went to court with a young lady to establish Roe versus Wade. It crept into in each case there was a legal proceeding that helped establish, even though in the Scopes trial the religious side won, so to speak, they may have won a battle, but they lost the war.
Yes.
Is this a valid parallel?
Did. Yeah. And this is the this is the problem when you have media against you, you get marginalized. And just with the Scopes trials, media was against the religious outcome. They were for the naturalistic outcome of evolution. Now, I want to go back a little bit to the Soviet Union and China and the exclusive teaching of evolution and the propaganda. Not only there is a link between not believing in God and communism. And the link is that with communism, the state is your God. So if the state is your God, you can't have any other gods, mainly, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But even Islam is a problem for the communists. because, you know, it's the people, you know, as you said, migrate towards believing in God as opposed to believing in the state. But in communism, the state takes care of all of your needs. With Christianity and other religions, we are to trust God, mainly Christianity, we are to trust God for everything, you know, and not in man. And so if you're trying to promote socialism and communism, then you need to eliminate religion. And you need to eliminate this idea that there was a God that created everything. This is what the battle is all about and has been about for years, especially here in this country, but in other countries. Because once you replace this idea that God created everything, then you can indoctrinate the person that believes in evolution with other things. And we see it even happening today with what has happened over the last year and a half with, you know, the COVID and the vaccines and the suppression of information that says, hey, you know, maybe you can take these cheap, you know, drugs that have been on the market for 50 years, and maybe that will help subside your symptoms, and all of that information is being suppressed because the government wants to control the narrative, and they're using the media to help them control the narrative. They're using big business to help you control, to help control the narrative, and big tech. Well, that was the same thing with the evolutionary story, evolution, trying to get evolution in the schools, and keeping only evolution in the schools, because if we can indoctrinate the kids, then the next generation we will have, and we can bring in our socialistic, communistic ideas, and they'll accept them. Mm-hmm. So this is more than just a religion, non-religion, atheism versus religion. This has everything to do with a political system and a political thought process. And, you know, while it is a basic argument for origins, you know, anything that you say against the origins of man, or saying that, hey, you know, it's obvious that God created everything, you know, you have to be put down, you have to be suppressed, you have to be marginalized. And we've certainly seen that in the schools, in the universities. And now we're seeing other things in the schools and the universities, started in the universities with putting down any type of conservative type of discussion that, hey, you know, maybe our founding fathers' ideas were the correct ideas. You can't even go to a university today and say anything about that. And about the true history of this country and how our country was founded, because we have another agenda, and that agenda is bringing socialism and communism into this country. And to do that, you must destroy it first with Darwinism, and then we can use that as a stepping stone to indoctrinate our children and other people into the state can take care of you and can take care of you better than you can take care of yourself.
For that trend, that tendency, though, to supersede generations and to continue era after era, gradually gaining ground and weaning people away from the idea of God, even though their natural tendency is to at least search for God, if not find him and believe in him. This suggests it's a spiritual thing, not an intellectual thing at all.
Oh, yeah, because intellectually it doesn't make sense. Evolution doesn't make sense. And scientifically it doesn't make sense. So it is very much a spiritual thing. just as the Marxism and communism is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing on the dark side, not on the light side. You know, everywhere that socialism and communism has been tried has failed. But yet somehow we are more enlightened than previous generations. And we're going to make it work this time. That's the argument. We're going to make it work. But it never works because man is evil. And those type of systems work towards the evil side of man because he wants to get richer and richer at the expense of everybody else. And that's not how our founding fathers set up this country, and it's certainly not what God had in mind for his original creation, you know, many, many years ago when he started this whole thing out with Adam and Eve in the garden and all this other stuff that we've talked about in the past with the Genesis. So we have gone far astray from the original plan of God, and now we are rapidly wrapping these things up with what Satan has in mind with the destruction of man.
And I should mention there's a link to this Federalist article, which is quite interesting. It's a neat history of the really the spiritual combat between evolution and creationism, and even intelligent design, which they say is, I've heard recently, is categorized as creationism in a tuxedo.
Dressed up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
but there's a link to the article in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com. You can click on that. It's not a real long article. You'll get a lot from this if you want to take a quick peek at it. You might also get a lot out of a visit to creationmoments.com. That's a website that we also link to on Broken Road Radio. And there you'll find a library, DVDs, articles, blogs that explain in scientific terms, the biblical story of creation. You'll find it a valuable resource, creationmoments.com. And Don, of course, you're a member of the board. You've got a board meeting coming up, don't you, for Creation
Moments? We do, later this week, actually on Friday. So I'll be flying up. It's our annual board meeting where we meet in person. Okay. We didn't meet completely in person the year before, but we're meeting in person this year. And I'll be flying up on Thursday, and we'll have an all-day meeting on Friday.
Well, say hi for us, okay?
Okay, we'll do.
Okay.
And Don, we'll see you next week, and maybe get you to report on that board meeting, see how things went for Creation Moments.
Okay.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Is this the time when I'm supposed to talk?
No. Well, I got the music. The music's up and everything. You can't say anything.
Okay.
No.
It's I missed my opportunity. Oh, no.
Say goodbye, Don.
See you, Don.
Okay.
Don, goodbye. Have a good week.
See you, folks.
Safe travel to Minnesota, too.
Okay. Thank you.